morning, good morning. Can you all hear me? Amen. Let's give all that glory to the Lord because he's worthy. Hallelujah, Lord, we just bless you this morning. God, we honor you and we just give you glory. We just thank you, God, for your graciousness and your mercy, oh God. Father, we just bless you and we honor you. Hallelujah, Lord. I just acknowledge you right now in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just bless you for this time, God. Father, we just pray that your anointing will just flow right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, Father, Lord. We lay everything at your feet, oh God, Father, Lord. I decrease right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that your spirit would arise right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of your people, oh God, Father, Lord, that you would minister like never before, oh God, Father, Lord. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you glory, give you praise, because you are worthy, oh God, Father. You are holy, and we bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stay on your feet because we're going to start with the reading of the word. So you know we're opening with, we've been doing a theme, running with giants. And I have to tell you, I'm very transparent. So I'm going to just tell you how I speak. I'm very open and honest about where I am. But trust me that the Holy Spirit knows how to kick my butt and get me in order when I need to be in order. But I like to lay out where I'm at, where my heart is, and I allow the Holy Spirit to work on that. Amen? So you're going to hear some things coming out of me. I'm just telling you where I'm at. But as we're talking about running with giants, I was telling the Lord, I said, okay, God, Father, you got me speaking on this subject. You got me running with this series. And I like to kind of do things on my own. But I trust that the Holy Spirit knows how to speak to us. Amen? So we're going to be talking about somebody called Ruth today. Ruth, okay? Out of the book of Ruth. And so we're going to start with the reading of the word. And Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, 6 through 17. I think they're going to get it on the screen for us. We're going to start with a reading of the word. And then I'm going to jump right in. It says, then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab and return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out for a place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. No, they said, we want to go with you, to your people. But Naomi replied, why go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' home, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should go and do the same. But Ruth replied, this is key, don't ask me to leave you and turn back, because wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. We bless you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can take your seats. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get up here and my heart gets racing, so I forget to acknowledge people. So I just want to just thank Pastor Sam for the opportunity to speak and just share what's on my heart. And I really believe that I have a word from the Lord today. And so I'm just going to run with that. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story of Ruth, but I'm going to share a little bit of that. But before I do that, how many of you have ever had some circumstances happen in your life that was beyond your control? Right? We all can agree on that, right? How many of you ever had something to happen to you that you were not expecting? You know, like something, you lose a loved one, you lose a job, or something happened to you. Just recently, my husband was driving down State Street, and he was just driving, and all out of the blue, something came flying out of the woods and ran into his car. It was a deer, just slammed into the side of his car, freak accident. Wasn't expecting it, but you know that's gonna cost us insurance and all those things. So stuff like that happens, right? Things like that happen in our lives that's beyond our control. How many of you have ever dealt with something where you've decided to move, you tried to change, you tried to shift things in hopes of things getting better, but they got worse? We can all relate, right? We can all relate to that. Tough times. I'm going to talk about tough times, things that happen in tough times. And so the title of my sermon today is When Life Throws You Lemons. Now, I wanted something real cute, and I was trying to say, Lord, come on, we got to have something a little bit more theological than this. But all I can think of, and the things that I had been going through, and the things that I had gone through in my life, and as I thought about Ruth and the things that she had gone through, all I can think about was lemons. Just things happening in my life that was out of my control, things that I didn't ask for. I was doing the right thing. I was heading the right direction, but things happened in my life. And then the question came to me, what do you do when that happens? So let's go back to the story of Ruth. Let me give you a little backstory. Ruth is actually the daughter-in-law of Naomi and a man of God called Elimelech. I hate saying his name, so I'm going to say E, okay? E was living in the town of Jerusalem, and there was a famine in the land. That's what the word of God says. It was a famine in the land, and so people were hungry. People were looking. So you ever had, you know of when people, you remember, I don't know if I'm maybe aging myself, but I don't know if some of you remember when people were moving up north because they were looking for jobs. That's what you do. When things were tight, you would shift yourself. You would shift your families, or you would send somebody to try to find where there's something giving life, okay? And so this is what was going on. There was a famine in the land, and so Naomi decided to go to Moab, a heathen nation, to go to Moab because Moab was still flourishing to raise their family. So he and Naomi gets there, and the Bible says that Naomi have two sons. Those two sons, as they're raising those two sons, in the midst of that, E dies. So now Naomi's alone, and she has these two sons. But these two sons are married to Ruth and Orpah. They end up marrying women of the Moab women. So now you understand that E is gone. Naomi is left. She has two sons, and those two sons are married. But then another lemon happens in her life. Another lemon is thrown at her. Both of her sons die. So now it's three women left. Is Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Now, you got to understand that Ruth and Orpah, because they were not of her lineage, they were not from their the children of Israel. They were from a heathen nation. Naomi, in the midst of that, was like, well, I have nothing here. Because in the Jewish tradition, the men were the ones who handled the family, who secured the family. They were the one who secured your future. They were your inheritance. They were everything. And so when your husband was gone, you were considered in a lesser place. I'll just say it like that. You were in a lesser place. So Naomi was in trouble. Naomi was trying to figure out what she was going to do. So Naomi decided, I'm going to go back home because I've heard that Jesus is blessing, that the Lord has lifted and there's some prospering going on back in my hometown. So I'm going to go back home. So now this is the scenario. So now Naomi is saying, I'm leaving. I love you guys. Why don't you all go on back home? I'm going to go home and be with my peeps because E is gone and my two sons are gone. Okay? I'm talking a little bit Ebonics here. So what happens as we read in the passage, they were having this conversation. So Naomi is trying to tell them, go back home, be with your family. So Orpah, her other daughter, decides, you're right, I love you, kiss, kiss. Okay, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home, be with my family, and I'm going to do my thing. But Ruth decided, she said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick with you, Naomi. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. So now, this is where we are. Naomi and Ruth have decided they're going to come back. Ruth has decided she's going to go with Naomi back to their hometown. So now they're back in their hometown. So now I want you to keep in mind that life has already hit Naomi and Ruth in a number of different ways. So they're coming back not in a state of pride, not in a state of where they're coming back with goods on their back. They're coming coming back home at a place of loss, at a place of deficit, at a place where they're struggling, they're trying to figure out what to do. And what I love about this story, though, is with Ruth is the one who is the Moabite. Ruth is the one who did not know a God, but decided she wanted to know Naomi's God, got to know him, and Ruth became the one that the Word of God decided to write about, because Ruth became the one who begins to walk in the attributes that God desires for us. So what am I trying to get to today? What I want to show you is that Ruth demonstrated attributes of faith. She was a faith walker. And in this season that we're living in, as you all raise your hand and testify to, we all get lemons thrown at us, right? We all got stuff happening in our life that is not what we intended. We got things coming at us that we didn't ask for. But the question is, what do you do when that happens? So here we are with Ruth. Ruth was a selfless, giving, caring, hard worker, diligent, faithful, loyal, committed woman of God. But you know what caused her to get in the book? Was her faith. Her faith and her trust in a God that she got to know through Naomi. Not a God that she was born to, not a God that she was introduced as a baby, but a God that she got to know through Naomi. But her faith is what woke her up. Her faith is what the Bible attributes to her. Her faith is what is our example today. So when tough times happen, tough times reveal a lot about us. It tells us whether we're walking in faith, or it tells us whether we're walking in fear. And a lot of times our character get exposed when stuff happens to us. Get around somebody and they stub their toe. Right, you hear some choice words coming out their mouth. They ain't saying Jesus, no, okay? Because when stuff happens, your real character comes out. And that's what happened with Ruth. When things hit her, the real character that was in her, the things that had been built up into her, and I'm going to talk about this a little later, that the things that I believe Naomi planted in her belly as she walked along with her as a mother and daughter, I believe that those things began to arise in her. And so her faith was exposed by the things that she was facing. Now, you have to ask yourself, when you're going through tough times, are you a reflection of Christ? Or are you a reflection of a lack of a relationship with our Lord Jesus? Does your life demonstrate to others that, wow, she really trusts God? Or is your life looking like you're defeated? See, sometimes when we're letting our mouth talk, we're around, we're in our jobs, we're in our marketplace, and we're talking about the different circumstances that we're dealing with, people are listening. They are watching. They're watching your every move. They're watching what's coming out of your mouth. They're trying to see, is this God that you're always talking about, is he real or is he not? And so here's Ruth. Ruth has decided, I'm going to take all of this stuff that's crazy, and I'm gonna begin to walk and trust in the Lord. So listen, I didn't come here to deal with all of the little issues that you have, because those things are gonna happen. Life is gonna happen to everyone. I can't promise you that once you say yes to Jesus, that nothing bad goes wrong. I almost said this because sometimes stuff go way wrong once you say yes to Jesus. No, I came to encourage your heart, guys. I came to encourage you. I wanted to let you know that whatever you're experiencing today is not the end of your story. You got to know that God is able, that he is working to bring forth his purpose in your life. And what comes your way is not necessarily how it's going to end. So you have to keep your eyes on the Lord. So I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about three things that Ruth demonstrated as a faith walker. Three things. Because you know how we always say in Hebrews 11 and 1, we say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we all say that, right? We all know that scripture. We talk it. We say it. Some of us got it on T-shirts. Some of us got it posted on our walls or whatever. We say all of that. But when it comes down to actually walking in faith, trust me, sometimes what I see demonstrated, what I hear coming out of people's mouth, I go, whoa. Do you believe in the Word of God or don't you? Is God on the throne or is he not? Because, see, when we say we are faith walkers, that means that something has to show in our lifestyle that lines up with that. So the first thing that she did as a faith walker is she separated herself. She had to let go. So my first thing is, faith walkers know how to separate and let go of the past and those things that are familiar. Now let me talk about what it said in the Word. You got to understand, Ruth had a family. She had people that she can go back to. Otherwise, Naomi wouldn't have offered that to her. She said, go on back with your family, girl. Go on, get back in. Go back to your security. Be secure. But Ruth decided, no, I'm going to go with you because your God will be my God and your people will be my people. Now, you got to understand the magnitude of why that is so powerful and why is that so powerful. Because sometimes that's what God asked us to do. Sometimes he asked us to separate ourselves, to separate ourselves from the things of the old, the things of the past. See, what Ruth didn't know when she decided to go that way that God had a purpose and a plan in that anyway. God had a plan for her life that was a redeeming type of plan, a reward that was eternal, but she didn't know that when she made that decision. But some of us who know the Word, who has Genesis to Revelation, we still are questioning God when he says, listen, I need you to let this go. I need you to let this relationship go. I need you to let this job go. Or I need you to separate from the things of old. I need you to let this hurt go. This forgive, let go. Some of us are still holding on to things and we're holding on so tight, but we're missing out on the things that God desires. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that God is desiring to do some miraculous things, but some of us got to get out of our comfort zone. We're so used to standing in our little circle, doing our little thing, and so we're so caught up in that God can't do anything with us because we're stuck. You got to be willing to let go of your comfort zone. You got to be willing to let go of your past. You got to be willing to let go what is familiar. Listen, Orpah had a choice. Now, God wasn't mad at her. He wasn't mad. The Bible didn't say thumbs down. That's not what the Bible said. I believe that God showed both of them because he says you have a choice. You can choose to be Orpah. You can choose to be in your comfort zone. Just sit there. Come to church every Sunday. We'll see you in heaven. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, if you receive Jesus in your life. Salvation is a sure thing. But if you want to see the power of God move, if you want to see miracles, if you want to see people raised from the dead, if you want to see people healed and delivered, if you want to see the hand of God move in your life, you got to be willing to get out of that comfort zone. You got to be willing to let go of that past. You got to be willing to let go family members who claim to, look, you're doing too much. It don't take all that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It does take all that. So Ruth chose to leave her family. She chose to leave everything she knew. And listen, I can relate to that because when God called me to Chicago, it was the one place I didn't want to go. Now I was saying, God, send me to Florida, send me to Hawaii, California, open the door. You know, I'm on there praying. Yes, Jesus, open the door. And so when my husband got the word that we were going to Chicago, I cried, I wept like a baby. I was like, A, B, C, anything but Chicago. I was just like, no, God, I don't want to go here. For one, I was leaving my family. My family, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. It's everything I know. So my mom, my family, everybody, my nieces and nephews, brothers, cousins, everybody. I got a big family. All of them were there. And so I would have been coming here by myself. And it would have been the first time that I was away from the familiar. Being able to drive down the street or around the corner and go drop off at mom's house and just say hi or on my sister's house, man, those were the days. Holidays, we all come together. So I knew when God was telling me to move, I knew he was telling me, Dorothy, you got to let go. And so I wept like a baby because you know why I wept? Because I was saying yes to the Lord. I know my flesh was saying, God, I want to hold on. But my heart loved him more. That's how Ruth was, and that's what God desires for us. He desires us to let go. So I want to encourage you, don't follow the crowd, guys. Don't follow what everybody else is doing. Don't be concerned with me, myself, and I. Because didn't I say that Ruth was selfless? Don't be so concerned with whether or not you need to be taking care of this and all this. Don't let people get you all tripped up in that stuff. You need to be seeking God for yourself, asking him, God, where do you desire me to go? What is it that you desire me to do? And listen, be ready for the answer, because I'm going to talk about that later. Be ready for the answer. Don't play with God, because God is listening with everything you say. Those breath prayers that you're speaking out your mouth, yes, God, I will. I just say yes. Like Sam was telling everybody, say yes last week. He heard you. He heard you. He heard you. You sitting back there in that corner, I don't care if you didn't say it loud. He heard that yes. And he going to make good on it, let me tell you. Because that's how God is. Listen, the word of God says, if you want to be my disciples, you must hate everything else by comparison. Your father and your mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Okay, see, that's counterculture, right? Come on, we just all a family. But this is Jesus talking. He said, father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Now look, that's a heavy thing right there. But Ruth, understand, because see, it's going to make a difference. I'm going to get there. It's going to make a difference why she chose it. She didn't even know it. This is what I love about this story. She didn't even know what God has in store. You don't even know what God has in store for you by making those choices. That's what I love about it. Because although God is telling you to sacrifice this, trust me, he has a reward on the other side of it that you have no idea. So listen, number one, faith walkers know how to separate and let go. Number two, faith walkers are willing to work and glean even at the risk of looking crazy to others. Now, I added that on purpose. Because some of you all are working folk real good. Y'all know how to get in there and just get busy and do all of those different things. But what I'm talking about is that type of work where it's not necessarily something you want to do. It's not something that's necessarily going to give everybody, going to give you that little glow. It's not something that everybody's going to go, ooh, I want that job. But what I love about Ruth, again, a woman of selflessness, caring, humility, a woman of faith, Ruth chose to say, look, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do. And so the word of God says that Ruth said to Naomi, say, hey, listen, we're back at home, but, you know, we don't have things in place. She said, let me go glean. Glean means to work. They worked in the fields. That means they were picking up and sowing and picking up all of this, the stuff from the wheat fields and all of this. And the Bible says that it was during the wheat and barley harvest. So she was gleaning. The Bible says that she said, let me go glean. Naomi said, go, girl, go do your thing. So Ruth goes, and she gathers up, she scoops herself up with the other gleaners and the other people that are working in the field, so much so that she took Boaz, took notice to it. She said, who is that? He's like, now look, he said, I know who my workers are. Who is that? So he took notice to the fact, you know what he took notice to? Her diligence, her consistency. The word of God says that later on, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but later on the Bible says that Boaz said, hey, I've seen you. He said, you are a faithful person. You are a faithful woman of God. And he blessed her. Listen, guys, this is a season where God is saying, I need some workers. The Bible says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We got to be willing to work. Sometimes God is going to have you do some crazy stuff. Let's talk about how he told the people, the children, to walk around the wall 7 times. Don't y'all think that's crazy? Don't say nothing. Y'all don't think they look stupid and crazy walking around the wall 7 times? What about what he told the guy? He said, look, put some mud and spit. Why can't we put some Evian water, mix it together? Why got to be spit? Spit! Are you now? Yes. Nasty spit. All the DNA. Wrapped it up, put it on his eye. And then he said, now go wash in the pool. He said, now go wash. Now y'all got to understand, this wasn't a clean pool. It was dirty water. See, y'all read the Bible. Y'all read it with this little fantasy look. I'm telling y'all, this stuff that Jesus caused them to do, he said, go wash. And so this dude, now look, how bad do you want it? He wanted to be, he wanted to see. So he was willing to do. So he said, so sometimes you got to be willing to do some things that makes you look crazy to other people, makes you look like you're a fanatic. Are you a Jesus fanatic? Yes, I am. Sometimes when I go, y'all, as Sam mentioned, I go into the arena sometimes. So I go into the arena, I'm in the arena, and sometimes when I'm in this arena, I'm around a lot of people, a lot of administrators and all this kind of stuff. But long story short, sometimes he has me do some crazy stuff. So one day, I'm walking down the hallways praying for folk in this arena. So people are trying to figure out what it is. So I usually wear my badge, and I usually flip it on the other side. So people are trying to figure out who I am. And so I'm usually doing stuff. And then when they hear the word, oh, you pray for people. Oh, you one of them Bible people. Yep, I'm one of those Bible people. And so I've been told, yeah, you like a little weird, but that's okay. We love you, you know. And I know I'm weird. I don't care because I'm willing to look crazy for Jesus. Because, see, what's the problem with most is pride is in your way. It's pride that keeps you from doing what God tells you to do. It's pride that's holding you back. It's pride that's causing you to question even what God is saying. But pride has to go. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The problem with some of us is the reason why we can't do some of the things that God has told us to do because we're holding on to that pride. But don't you know that grace means empowering? So that means when grace comes, it empowers you to do what you thought you could not do. But you got to let that pride go. Humility must arise in us, guys. We got to get to a place where we say to the Lord, God, yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, whatever you ask me to do, because I want to see your hand move in my life. I want to see your hand move in the life of others. The Bible says, I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Sometimes God is going to have you go into fields, and he will bless you when you haven't even done all of the pre-work. But some of us are so caught up in pride, we miss our blessings. We miss our blessings because of that. Listen, I want to encourage you in this season. Don't be anxious as God is moving you. If you are one of those people who are willing to walk in that level of faith, don't be anxious. Be willing to say, God, listen, if it takes me 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, if whatever it takes in order for me to glean, I mean, I have people that I'm praying for. Some people I have been praying for years, and it took 2 and 3 years before God opened the door for me to even speak to them. But see, you got to be willing. Some of you all got to have some endurance. You need to get to a place where you're willing to press through, that you're willing to do the work until you see the hand of God move in their life. Sometimes God is making you stay longer in those things because he's building character in you. Sometimes he is using those times to cause what is in you to arise up. When I moved here to Chicago a couple of years ago, we had no idea what was in store for us. We didn't know that 10 years later my husband was going to lose his job. We didn't know that things were going to go crazy. We was going to go through all kind of financial craziness. We had no idea. But when we began to walk in faith, when we began to trust the Lord, as we walked in faith and trusting him, God had a purpose and plan in that because he was working some things in me that I had no idea. He was working some things in me that was drawing me into a place in him that was preparing me for what I was doing today. And I had no idea. So I'm saying be open to God. The last thing is choose to obey without question. Now, that's hard. I know that's a hard one for some of you guys because, yeah, that it's the without question part. Y'all like to obey. Okay, yeah, I can do that, you know, but it's the without question part. The Bible says that Ruth, again, we're using Ruth as an example. The Bible says that Naomi said to her, now Naomi give her this, give her these instructions. She said, now get dressed up, girl. Now put on your best outfit, get your little heels on. I want you to look a little cute, you know, do your hair, get yourself together. And then I want you to go over to Boaz's field, okay? Because he's over there, he's beating these harvests. Because, you know, in order during the harvest time, what they used to do is throw up the chaff. And then what is the rest, the chaff would blow away, and then the wheat would fall down. So when you get doing that all day, you're tired. And so she said, now you go over there, you wait for him to get done at the threshing floor. And when he get done at the threshing floor, you go over there and you just squeeze your little self, your little feet up right up under there, right here. That's in the Bible, y'all. That's in the Bible. So Naomi, now if I'm Ruth, I'm trying to picture myself. If I'm Ruth, I'm going, I would have been like, what? You want me to do what? But what? 6 says, so she went down to the threshing floor that night and followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. Without question, there was not a back and forth discussion. Listen, guys, I'm telling you that God has us in a place in this season. I believe that sometimes we need to obey without question. We need to stop. We waste so much time going back and forth with Jesus on what we should be doing. But Ruth trusted Naomi. Ruth, and look, I have to give that to Naomi because Naomi built some kind of relationship with her and had given some kind of pouring into her life on the word of God that had built some kind of trust where Ruth was able to trust her. Now, side note, before I go on about this, some of you all are Naomis in people's lives. Some of you God has ordained, has anointed you to be a Naomi in people's lives. Continue to do that. Let God share and pour. I think we're living in an age where people are scared to say stuff to people. They're scared to say, girl, you know, you might want to not go there. You know, we're scared to say stuff to people. I mean, I used to have, my grandmother would yank me up. But we don't have people like, we need Naomis in this hour, guys. We need Naomis to rise up for our young people and speak to them and pour the word of God in them. And that's my word today. I just wanted to say that. And then some of you all who are Ruth need to listen to Naomi. Some of you all got your ears closed. Naomi is telling you something. You're coming to them. I get people all the time, Ms. Dorothy, I want you to mentor me. And Ms. Dorothy, I want to, you know, what is God saying? And all this kind of stuff. And so people are saying to me, and I'm saying, and so I've gotten now where I go, are you sure you want to hear what God is saying? Because see, what I used to do is go, oh, let me tell you. Boom. And I just blow it out there. And then they'd be like, wait. That's not what I want to do. Some of you all need to listen because God is trying to speak. If you have a Naomi in your life, cherish them. Cherish anyone in your life like that, that God has given you. If someone is giving you a woman of God, and the Ruth, I need you to listen. Listen what is there, because Ruth trusted Naomi, and because she trusted him, she trusted the God that she served. She didn't have to question her because she knew she had her best interest at heart. Trust eliminates all of the questions. Trust eliminates that. When we trust, and when we are in a place of trust, trust begets faith. Faith begets obedience. Obedience begets awards. And we have to get to that place where we get to walk in that and stop questioning God. Stop asking him all these questions. Don't you understand that when Ruth moved to, when Ruth and Naomi came, they came for a natural help. They came to secure their life, to find food. They came for something what we call earthly security. But what Ruth didn't know that God had already set up her eternal security. So I want to close with this. The Bible says that Ruth ended up getting favor with Boaz. And a lot of people use this whole scripture as a looking for my Boaz, my single guy. But, you know, and I'm all for that. I get that. But listen, this story is so much deeper than that. Because, see, it wasn't just about Ruth finding a man. It wasn't just about sex and all of that kind of stuff. God wasn't necessarily concerned with that, although the Bible says that she was going to continue her inheritance by producing children, which we're going to talk about. But the whole purpose of that is that Boaz was her Redeemer. He was the one who restored her, who brought her back and brought her security. Don't you understand that the Bible compares Boaz to our Jesus? He did the same thing for us. The Bible says that he was our kinsman redeemer. Let me explain to you what that means. It means that when somebody is lost in the family, so let's say I lose, my husband dies and his brother is still living. His brother can come and take hold of my family, take hold of my kids, and put security up under us so that we'll have a future. So Jesus looked through time and said, I'm looking at all y'all. Y'all have no future because y'all had a bunch of lemons thrown at you. You done lost everything. Your life is all jacked up. And so he looked through time and he said, let me do something about that. So he sends E and Naomi to Moab to meet a woman so that their sons can marry two women. One of those women returned back to their hometown. She finds favor in the eyes of Boaz. And the Bible says that because of that, he redeems her. But this is the part. The Bible says out of that was birthed. has birthed Obed, who became David's father. David is the lineage of Jesus. So listen, you all sometimes look at, we can't look at these Bible stories as just what they are. God looked through time. He looked through time and he has a plan. He had a plan. He said, I'm going to send E to Moab so they can marry some heathens. Because see, some of us judging other people and looking at their lives and trying to say what's what, but you don't know the beginning from the end. You don't know that. God sent them there. They marry these heathens and they come back and then this woman becomes the lineage of Jesus. Don't you know how powerful that is? Because I wouldn't be able to stand before you because I'm not a Jew. But because this woman walked in faith, because this woman was willing to separate, because this woman was willing to get out of her comfort zone, because she was willing to obey without question, because she was willing to do that, God allowed her to stand in the lineage, and I stand here today before my Father, and I can call him Lord and King because somebody was obedient to what the Lord told him to do. Listen, understand, God has a plan for each one of you. He has a plan for your life, whether you understand it or not, whether lemons are coming flying two and three at a time. You got to understand that God has a plan and he has a purpose and he is setting things in order for you. He is setting things in place. God is a strategic God. He is a God that set things in order. When he looked through time, he decided a yes. Even though he knew all of the things that would take place, he decided a yes. So I want to finish with this final scripture. There's a scripture in, let me tell you about this song, because I asked Tommy to do this song for me. It's called He Made a Way, and it's by Travis Greene. And I don't know if you're familiar with this song, but for me, Dorothy has been through a lot. Her family has been through a lot. And sometimes I have questioned God. And I said to him, I've been that one who said, God, what in the world are you doing? Not understanding. But the older I get, the less I question. The more I trust him. Because he is faithful. And this song talks about he made a way. It talks about how he moved mountains. And he caused me to climb. And see, this is what I'm saying. Sometimes we got to just stay in that place where we see God for who he is and understand that he loves us with an unconditional love. And that he is making a way. I don't know where you're in the midst of that. Whether God is calling you to separate. Whether you're in that place where you're working and gleaning and having and not seeing anything. Or whether you're just obeying God. I don't know where you are, but you know God has a plan. The scripture in 1 Peter says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, after, he will restore, he will support, he will strengthen, and he will place you on a firm foundation. The King James says he will establish you. God loves you with an everlasting love. So I know I was saying when life throws you lemons, but I don't want you to leave with that thought in your mind. What I want you to leave with understanding that God has a plan and he is making a way. And so I want to ask, as Tommy sings this song, wherever you are in that thing, I really want to speak to those who are struggling, who's struggling in the process, who's been at it for a while and they just feel like, Lord, this ain't working. Why would you take me through this? Why would you take me this direction? Why is this happening in my life? But I want to minister to those people. I want to minister. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. I don't want to punt anybody out, but I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you're one of those people that's struggling in that area, as Tommy sings this song, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar. I want to lay hands on you. Because I believe that God is able and I believe that he is making a way. And then I believe that the enemy tries to come to discourage us. He tries to come to cause us to back up off of what God, but God has a plan and a purpose. Amen?